Hebrews 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Lord, let us not go astray in our hearts. Lord, teach us your ways. Verse 11, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask you, just please come. Holy Spirit, just come right now. I can feel you coming in the room. I feel my heart getting softer right now. Some of you, you're feeling that. You're feeling that heat in your chest right now. You're feeling something soften, something loosen, something break within you right now. You had a hard heart coming in today, and he is breaking that off you today. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, there is a hardness of heart being broken. There's a religious spirit being broken in this room today. We won't be like the Pharisees, Lord. We want to be your son. We know that we've been adopted in. We want to be your daughter. We've been adopted in, grafted into your family, grafted by the blood. Lord Jesus, we praise you in this room right now. Lord, teach us your ways. Break off everything that's of the world so that we can follow your word, so that we can walk in obedience to you, Lord. May we submit under your authority today. May all rebellion be broken off in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we give you this entire space. We give you our hearts. The veil's been torn. The anointing, your presence, the oil, it flows through this word. And I just pray as we open this word and as we read it today, your presence would flow throughout this room. That people would get set free, healed, and delivered in the name of your Son. By his blood, we are healed. We believe that today. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe it today. If you believe it today, go ahead, give them a hallelujah as you're sitting down. Hallelujah. Matthew 21, verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and they came to Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. All week, I've just kind of been thinking, Lord, what do you want me to say? Like, I just keep having these talks with him. And this is how most of the weeks go. And I'm just like, Lord, I know all the good pastors out there. They've had their Easter sermon written for about a month now, 2 months now, since last year. You know, they've been prepping, they've been preparing. Lord, I just keep sitting here reading your word and listening. And for some reason, all I keep seeing you and hearing in your word is donkeys. I just keep hearing about donkeys. And he said, talk to my people about donkeys. I said, are you serious? It's Easter. He said, talk to my people about donkeys. All right, Lord. We're going to go back to Numbers. I know some of you guys are like, Numbers? We're talking in Numbers on Easter. Numbers 22. Go to Numbers. I was talking in the gym the other day. Me and Brennan, he goes here. We got a couple friends in the gym. And, you know, they're kind of just young in their faith. And they're learning. They're growing. And they're hungry. And one of the things that they started to talk about, one of them, I love this guy, Nick. And he's just like, man, I tried reading Genesis, but it's just a bunch of numbers. And then Brennan was like, you should read Numbers. It's more numbers. And they kind of were caught up in it. They're like, yeah, some of these books, it's like, you know, you got Leviticus. It's just like all these laws and you got numbers and it's just a bunch of numbers. And I'm telling you, sometimes when you read the Bible, sometimes that's all you see. But if you will continue to walk with the Holy Spirit, he will continue to give you a fresh revelation of who he is. And someday you'll look back on some of these books or some of these passages that one day you read many days before, and you said, there's nothing there for me. And you'll go back someday. Today's going to be one of those days. And you'll go back, and you'll look at it again, and he'll give you fresh eyes. Because the more you walk with him, the more he softens your heart. And the more he softens your heart, the more you begin to see through fresh eyes. When John the Baptist was first preaching in John chapter 1, verse 29, when Jesus began to walk by, John saw him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. That word behold means to look and to see spiritually. Sometimes we just are looking at things in the physical, and he wants you to look spiritually and see beyond. See beyond the physical. And so I'm telling all of us today, look, behold the Lamb of God today on every page of this book. His blood is on every page of this book. It flows from Genesis to Revelation. If you will ask the Holy Spirit to give you fresh revelation, you'll begin to see with new eyes, not physical eyes, spiritual eyes. And your heart will be softened. As I was sitting over there, when Steph shared that story about our son Maverick, shoot, she like was telling me last night late, she was like, I got nothing for today. I was like, that's pretty good for nothing. You got me crying up here. Like, I told her and I prayed with her over there. I said, Lord, please give us eyes like a seven-year-old to hear that story fresh again, that we would not be numb to what he's done. That we would not take for granted what he has done and what he did for us. Because she's right. It just hit him. And Jet, our little guy, four, he was kind of looking. He's like, he dies? What? Like, he couldn't believe it, you know? It's like, we had to, like, really hype it up. It's like, keep reading. Keep going. It gets better. There's a resurrection. But I just pray that we would just have eyes like a seven-year-old. There's a reason. Jesus tells us to be more like children than like adults. Sometimes we think it's a good thing to be jaded and cynical. No. Break that off you right now. Just say it to yourself today. If you've been jaded, if you've been cynical, I'm telling you, that is connected to a religious spirit. And just say, Lord, I want nothing to do with the religious spirit. I want only your Holy Spirit. Invite him in today. If you've never done that, just put your hands out and just say, Holy Spirit, come. And I'm telling you, he's going to come and he's going to wreck your life in the best way possible. He's going to turn it upside down. You're going to begin to see this world. You're going to begin to see things like you've never seen before. You're going to have understanding and wisdom that you never thought or even knew was possible. He will change your life, but you have to invite him. He will not force his way into your life. No, no, no. He is standing at the door. He is knocking, but you have to open the door. He's not going to kick it down. He gives you the choice today. Invite him in. Confess with your mouth. Jesus, you're Lord. Jesus, you're Savior. I want you. I want to invite you in. You're going to have that chance at the end of service today. If you've never done that, do that. Invite him in. In fact, we set up the baptistry out here today because we knew there might be somebody that's coming in today. We're just believing by faith. And they're going to want to make that confession of faith. And they're going to want to get water baptized and give their life to Jesus in obedience to die to themselves and be raised new. If you've never done that, I'm telling you, I'm inviting you, do it today. It's a step of obedience. And you might be like, I don't want to get my nice Easter clothes all wet. It's all right. Your family, your friends, they'll understand. In fact, they're going to be pumped. They're going to be excited. They're not going to care. It's going to be a badge of honor when you go out to eat later and you're soaking, dripping wet with a towel on your shoulders. People are going to be like, what happened to you? I gave my life to the Lord. Like, that's it. I'm covered. I'm washed in the blood. Like, get washed in the blood today. Do it. Don't wait. Walk in obedience to his voice. His blood, his spirit, the living water, it flows throughout. Go here. Numbers 22, verse 1. Here we go. Numbers 22, verse 1. This is when the children, the Israelites, they're in the wilderness. God has set them free from Egypt. Some of us, you've been set free from Egypt already. You know, you've been healed, set free, delivered. He has opened up the door for you. You've walked into salvation. Some of you, you need to make that choice today. And when you do, let me tell you something. You get grafted in, it says in God's word. You get grafted into his family, the Israelites. And so I said this last week, I'll say it again. When we read the Old Testament, we're not just reading some other people's history. No, no, no. You're reading your family history. You've been adopted in by the blood of Christ. And some of you, if you haven't done that yet, you're going to read these stories and you're hearing these stories and you're going to say, I want that. I want that. I want that family to be my family. I want that father to be my father. Numbers 22, verse 1. Then the children of Israel, they moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, he saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. He'd been hearing the news about what the Israelites had been doing. I mean, there were miracles following them everywhere they went. They knew there was God with them. And so Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass on the field. Isn't that good imagery? I love the Bible. It's beautiful. It's not just numbers in here. It's beautiful. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. Balaam was known in that territory. There are other gods. There were other gods that were worshipped back then. There's other gods that are still worshipped today. And sometimes we think, oh, no, it ain't real. It ain't real. No, no, no. There are other gods, smaller gods, lesser gods. But they're not the one true God. And Balaam, he worked by their power, through their customs. And he was known. Sometimes we just dismiss when people talk about witchcraft or these other gods or things like that. These other religions, we just dismiss it and say, oh, there's nothing there. No, 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 there's something there, but it's nothing in comparison to who Yahweh is. It's nothing in comparison to him. But it was something to some of those people. Those people in Moab, it meant something to have Balaam come and for him to bring a curse upon the Israelite people. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian, they departed with the diviner's fee. That's how he made his money. They brought the fee, they came to Balaam, and they spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" So Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, 'Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I should be able to overpower them and drive them out.'" And God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them." Now Balaam, he spoke to many gods, but you're going to see as Yahweh is speaking to him, this is the most clear that he's ever heard. He's never experienced truly the voice of Yahweh. And you'll see that as we go throughout the story here. He's heard from some of these other gods through his divination practices. Some of the divination practices they included, they would take the liver of an animal and they would decipher the liver of an animal to see what the gods were saying, these lesser G gods. There were certain ways that the liver would look when it came out of these animals that would tell them the future or what was going to happen. But God, he's just speaking to Balaam. "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." You can't curse what God has blessed. So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you." And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak, and they said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Then Balak again sent princes, more numerous, more honorable than they, and they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me." Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me." And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, If the men come to call you, rise and go with them. But only the word I speak to you, that you shall do." So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Verse 22, then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. This part of the story always bothered me. But I just want to let you in on something. The version you read, sometimes we get all these different versions. It's great. It's good. But sometimes you might miss something in the translation. And so if you're ever curious, you can go to Bible Hub, you can look up the original Greek, and you can start to look word for word what you got here. The New King James gives you more of a word for word translation. And this always bothered me because I thought Balaam was just doing what God had said he could do. But I missed it in all these other versions. In the New King James, you see this. "If the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do." It never says the men came to him in the morning. It says, Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and he went with the princes of Moab. Sometimes there's things that we're just hoping and praying that God's going to open the door for, and we're just believing for, and then we just kind of start to just hear what we want to hear. That's disobedience. That's disobedience. And so as you're learning to listen to God's voice, we say this all the time here. He wants to speak to you. He does. He is speaking today. Some of you feel it already. You feel the Spirit moving and speaking, and he's telling you things. But if you try to do what you want to do, if you try to manipulate the Lord, I'm telling you, it's going to rouse his anger against you. Do not try to manipulate his voice. When you're discerning his voice, we discern it against the word, first and foremost, and you discern it in community with other believers. And so as you're trying to figure out wisdom for your life and how you should move forward, what he's asking you to do, what he's tasking you with, what's your call in your life, don't try to manipulate his word. Don't try to manipulate to get what you want, to get where you want to go. No, no, no. Walk in obedience to everything he says. Balaam stepped out of line there. Numbers 22, verse 22. God's anger was aroused. Verse 23. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused and he struck the donkey with his staff. There's so many times in my life where I was just like, I was just riding the donkey and the donkey wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. Like we've all been there, right? There were so many times where I was so mad and so angry because it just kept seeming like there was roadblocks, and they didn't make sense. And I thought, no, this is the way I'm supposed to go. This is what I want. This is the desire of my heart. But I wasn't walking in obedience to his voice at that time in my life. And I was just following my own ways and not his ways. If that's you today, if you feel like you're getting your foot crushed against the wall, if you feel like everything is just stopping up, like everything is just dammed up, like your life is not flowing the way you thought it would, the way you thought it should, and you're mad and you're angry and you're beating people spiritually around you. You're beating people and things around you and you're angry and you're beating yourself up. And you're just telling yourself, you're so stupid, you're an idiot, you can't do this, nothing you do ever goes right. Stop that. Don't speak to yourself like that. Because probably what's happening is the Lord is trying to save you from yourself. If that's you today, if you're here today and you feel like that, if you feel just frustrated and angry at your life, today's a day you can just come to the Lord. We're going to open up the altar at the end here. If you just want to come to the Lord, if you just want to pray to him, if you just want to say, Lord, I submit myself, my life fully to you. I want to stop trying to go my own way, trying to go against what you have for me and walk in obedience to your voice. I'm telling you, all of a sudden, the way before you, it's going to become easy. Even when it gets hard, it'll be easy because he's with you. Even when it gets difficult, even when there's a challenge, even when something comes up, it won't feel like a challenge. It'll just roll off you and to the side. Because when you walk with him, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives within you. So no matter what the enemy tries to throw at you, he can't touch you. But if you don't feel like that today, I'm telling you, you're like Balaam riding this donkey right now, and nothing is going the way you thought it would, and your life is just frustrating and angry, and you're mad, and you just... release that today and stop trying to be God of your own life and let him be God. You be you, let him be God. Stop trying to be God today. Submit. We said a holy rebellion. You can't have a holy rebellion without holy submission to him. I just feel the Holy Spirit breaking that off of somebody today. He's doing that. If you'll just submit to him, and just say, Lord, teach me your ways. Because my ways aren't working. I'm sick of riding this donkey into the wall day after day. Start riding. Start walking by his ways. Verse 28, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, as if it was just a normal thing to have a conversation with the donkey, because you have abused me. I wish there were a sword in my hand, and now I would kill you. That's our reaction to God sometimes. God, you're abusing me. You don't care for me. You don't love me. No, no, no. He just knows what's better for you. He does. Everything I look back on in my life that I was frustrated about, that I was angry about, that I was saying, Lord, what are you doing? I don't get it. He used it for my good. He used it in my life. My darkest moments, he's used in my life and brought me out of into something I could have never imagined. And I can look back now and I can say, I can praise him now. When I come into worship now, like I can praise him and I can thank him. God, thank you for running me into that wall. Thank you for that moment. When my whole life revolved around baseball. Like, I loved baseball. I loved it so much. But every year that I thought, this is my year, things are going to go my way, I'm going to be an all-star on my high school team, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to play in the pros. Like, I believed it. I believed it so much in my life. That was my whole life. It was an idol to me. Every year around tryouts, you know what happened? I got mono, I got sick, I got broken thumb, I got torn hamstring. Every year, I was fine the rest of the year. But when my dreams came into play, when it was time for tryouts or baseball season, and I was like, this is it, this is my year, one of my best years, this is going to be my junior year. I was like, this is finally it. I'm not sick this year, nothing. I dived to catch a ball before the first game of the year. Break my thumb, snap it in half. I come over to my coach, and he's like, oh, that's just dislocated. Snap that back in place. I'm like, what? It was like a 90-degree angle here. I'm like, what? I can't do that. He's like, I'm not doing it. I'm like, I bit down on my batting glove, and I snapped it back in place. He's like, all right, you want to hit? I was like, sure. I find out a week later, it's broken. I was like, that guy's not a doctor. He didn't know anything about medicine. He's just a high school baseball coach. I was out the whole season. That was it. That was my year. Like, that was my last chance I knew to get noticed by any kind of college scouts. And I was so mad. And I was like, God, why are you doing this to me? Why do you hate me? What is this for? And I went to this summer camp, and I heard Jesus preached in a way I'd never heard anybody preach him. And I got a fresh revelation of who Jesus was, and it flipped my life upside down, and I gave my life to the Lord fresh. And he set me on a path. And he opened doors for me. And all of a sudden, the more I began to listen to his voice, my life got easier. He opened up doors, and I wasn't having to try to kick doors down. I wasn't trying to have to force my way through doors anymore. I wasn't doing it on my own. I was listening to his voice, and he's got that for somebody in here today. Stop trying to do it on your own. You're frustrated, you're mad, you're angry at God, but I'm telling you, you need to let go of all that bitterness and anger towards him, because what the enemy means for evil, what the enemy meant for evil, he's going to turn it for good. That's what he does. He does it every time. What the enemy meant for evil on the cross, what did he do? He turned it around for good 3 days later. The enemy thought he had won on Friday. No, no, he lost everything on Sunday. He lost everything. The only way he wins is if he can convince you to turn all your anger, all your wrath, all your bitterness towards the Lord and blame him for everything in your life. That's the only way he can win. Don't give him that. Don't give him that step. Don't give him that foothold. Don't give him that today. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. A donkey could see me. A donkey could see me. You couldn't see me. I was standing right there. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live. He is great in his grace and mercy. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now, when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the border of the Arnon, the boundary of the territory. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not earnestly send to you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?" And Balaam said to Balak, "Look, I've come to you. Chill out, bro. Now have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak." So Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kirjath-Huzoth. Then Balak offered oxen and sheep, and he sent them to Balaam to the princes who were with him. Verse 41. So it was the next day that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal. They thought the higher you went, the more the gods would listen to you. So they went up to the high places of Baal, that from there he might observe the extent of the people. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars for me here and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams." And Balak did just as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stand by your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you." And so he went to a desolate height, and God met Balaam, and he said to him, "I have prepared the 7 altars, and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram." Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak." So he returned to him, and there he was standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his oracle and said, "Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come curse Jacob for me and come denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There, a people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. God's people are set apart. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number 1/4 of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his." Then Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you have blessed them bountifully." So he answered and said, "Must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth?" Verse 13, then Balak said to him, "Please come with me to another place." He thinks, if we just change locations, if we just get a little bit higher, we can just manipulate the gods. We can get them to listen to us, and we can get what we want. We can get that curse on the people. "Please come with me to another place from which you may see them. You shall see only the outer part of them." They could just see like the outer part of them. They couldn't even see. There were so many of them where they were at right here. They hadn't fully seen the entire camp of Israel. Somewhere around 2 million people, men, women, and children. You won't even be able to see all of them. "Curse them for me from there." So he brought them to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And he said to Balak, "Stand here by your burnt offering while I meet the Lord over there." Then the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, "Go back to Balak, and thus you shall speak." So he came to him, and there he was standing by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab were with him. And Balak said to him, "What has the Lord spoken?" Then he took up his oracle and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, not a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? If he said it, he's going to do it. Nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. What God has done, no man can reverse it. What God has said, no man can change it." Verse 21, "He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox, for there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. Look, a people rises like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. There's no witchcraft. There's no divination against Jacob. Don't forget, you're adopted into that family. Witchcraft is any kind of control, manipulation. Sometimes we just think it's sorcery or witchcraft. No, no, no. Some of us, we got people practicing witchcraft in our own family, but we just call it manipulation. But sometimes we just say, well, that's just who my grandma is. We just kind of got to go along with whatever she says. Any form of control over people, it's a form of witchcraft. But for God's people, there's no sorcery against Jacob. There's no divination. There's no witchcraft that can stand against God's people. You're his people. You're his son, you're his daughter. You're adopted in by the blood. Do not forget that. You cannot be controlled. You cannot be manipulated. No, you are free by the blood of Christ. And you answer to him. You answer to his word. And we walk by his word and not the world. Verse 25, then Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them at all nor bless them at all. So Balaam answered and said to Balak, did I not tell you, saying all that the Lord speaks that I must do? I've been telling you, man. I keep telling you. Balak can't get it in his head. Balak is not willing to give it up. Verse 27, then Balak said to Balaam, please come. I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there. So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor that overlooks the wasteland. Then Balaam said to Balak, build for me here 7 altars and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bull and a ram on every altar. Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek to use sorcery. He didn't use his sorcery. He didn't use his divination. He didn't use his witchcraft anymore. But he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam raised his eyes, and he saw Israel encamped according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. Finally, at this higher place, he can see all of Israel encamped. Then he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. He shall pour water from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrows. He bows down. He lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall rouse him? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. In 24, when Balaam raises his eyes from the top of Peor, it says he sees Israel encamped according to their tribes. And this is the first time it says the Spirit of God came upon him. Go back to Numbers chapter 2. If you're following along here. Numbers chapter 2. I want to show you this boring book about Numbers. This is what people, when they first start trying to read Numbers, they get into this, they get into chapter 2 and they quit. This is it right here. Chapter 2, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, every one of the children of Israel shall camp by his own standard, beside the emblems of his father's house. They shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of meeting, on the east side toward the rising of the sun. Those of the standard of the forces of with Judah shall camp according to their armies. And Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be the leader of the children of Judah. And his army was numbered at 74,600. Do you got that? Do you got that first slide? Some people are more visual here. Let me just show you guys something here. What's that first slide I got? Yeah, look at this here. This is how they would camp. This is what, when Balaam is up on the mountain, what he's seeing the people camped here. Here's Judah in the east, okay? There's Judah in the east. Look at this. They were camped there. His army was numbered at 74,600. Those who camp next to him shall be the tribe of Issachar, and Nathanael, the son of Zuar, shall be the leader of the children of Issachar. And his army was numbered at 54,400. Then comes the tribe of Zebulun, and Eliab, the son of Helon, shall be the leader of the children of Zebulun, and his army was numbered at 57,400. All who were numbered according to their armies of the forces with Judah, 180,400. These shall break camp first. On the south side shall be the standard of the forces with Reuben according to their armies. And the leader of the children of Reuben shall be Eleazar, the son of Shedur. And his army was numbered at 46,500. I'm telling you, some of you, you're in here right now and you're like, yep, if I was reading this on my own, I would have quit. I ain't quitting. I ain't stopping. I'm going, all right? I ain't stopping. Somebody give me an amen in here. This is his word, all right? Here we go. I know you're tired. I know you're like, what is he doing? You're going to see it. You're going to get a fresh revelation of Jesus today. Those who camp next to him shall be the tribe of Simeon. And the leader of the children of Simeon shall be Shelumiel. And the son of Jeruiah. You're like, there's weird names. There's weird numbers. Verse 14. Then comes the tribe of Gad. And the leader of the children of Gad shall be Eliasaph, the son of Reuel. And his army was numbered at 45,650. All who were numbered according to their armies of the forces with Reuben, 151,450. They shall be the second to break camp. And the tabernacle of meeting, right here, it's the tabernacle. God's presence. They carried the Ark of the Covenant. They kept the Ark of the Covenant at the very center of their camp. And the tabernacle of meeting shall come out with the camp of the Levites in the middle of the camps. As they camp, so they shall move out. Everyone in his place by their standards. On the west side shall be the standard of the forces of Ephraim. You see Ephraim up there. Shall be Elishma, the son of Amud, and his army were numbered at 40,500. Next to him comes the tribe of Manasseh, and the leader of the children of Manasseh shall be Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur, and his army was numbered at 32,200. Then comes the tribe of Benjamin. You see Benjamin? Then comes the tribe of Benjamin. I lost my place there. Don't worry, I'll find it. There we go. And the leader of the children of Benjamin shall be Abidan, the son of Gideoni. And his army was numbered at 35,400. All who were numbered according to their armies of the forces with Ephraim, 108,100. They shall be the third to break camp. The standard of the forces with Dan shall be on the north side according to their armies. And the leader of the children of Dan shall be Ahizar, the son of Amashda. And his army was numbered at 62,700. Those who camp next to him shall be the tribe of Asher. And the leader of the children of Asher shall be Pagiel, the son of Ochran. And his army was numbered at 41,500. Then comes the tribe of Naphtali. And the leader of the tribe of Naphtali shall be Ahira, the son of Enan. And his army was numbered at 53,400. All who were numbered of the forces with Dan, 157,600. And they shall break camp with their standards. These are the ones who were numbered of the children of Israel by their fathers' houses. All who were numbered according to their armies of the forces were 603,550. But the Levites were not numbered among them. The children of Israel, just as the Lord commanded Israel. Thus the children of Israel did according to the Lord commanded. All that the Lord commanded. So they camped by their standards, and so they broke camp, each one by his family, according to their fathers' houses. Sometimes we just think his word is a bunch of numbers and it's a bunch of laws. Why does he care so much about this? Why does he care so much about this? The numbers matter. Would you show me? Yeah, sure. They put the tabernacle right at the middle. And so as Balaam is looking out, as he's looking out over God's people camped there, before the Spirit of God comes upon him, there's 150,600. That's the number we get. Camped out. And there's 108,100 camped out to the west. And there's 151,400 camped out. And then to the east, we have Judah, 186,400. What was Balaam looking at? He was looking at the cross. He was looking at the cross. Balaam got a revelation of Jesus before Jesus even came. He got a revelation of the cross, and the Spirit of God came upon him. That's my prayer for our church today, that you would get a fresh revelation of who Jesus is, that you get a fresh revelation of the cross today, that you would walk out of here and remember and walk differently today than you walked yesterday. That you would get a fresh revelation of the Son of God and what he's done for us today. When Balaam got that fresh revelation, when he was looking out from the mountain, he saw the cross and the Spirit of God came upon him. That's my prayer, that you see the cross today, that you see the blood, that you see the sacrifice of Jesus today, and that the Spirit of God would come upon you, that you get filled afresh today. Worship team, would you come up as we get ready to close? Every detail in this word, every detail is important to the Lord. Every book, every passage you've ever read that you thought was weird or boring, I'm telling you, the weird and the boring or the stuff that just doesn't make sense to you, that's the most important stuff in there. If you would get that, I'm telling you, you're going to get a fresh revelation of who Jesus is and how much he cares about you. How much he cares about every detail of your life. Judah to the east. What rises in the east? Malachi 4, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. The sun rises in the east. Judah rises in the east with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. With the statutes and judgments, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Yet today the sun rises in the east. He rose. He rose out of the grave. He did not stay there. And he rises with healing in his wings. Some of you, you're here today and you just need to give your life to Jesus. Some of you, you gave your life to Jesus a long time ago, but right now you're getting a fresh revelation of who he is and what he's done and what he wants to do in your life. And you've been so mad and angry at him for so long, but today you see what he was protecting you from. Today you see, you get a different angle, you get a different viewpoint. You're getting raised up on Peor with Balaam, and you're getting a fresh view of what Jesus is doing and what he wants to do in your life. I'm declaring that right now over your life. Receive that today. Would you stand up as we get ready to worship here? Psalm 92, 10 through 14. This has been our word for the year. That God's people would get planted in his house. Psalm 92 verse 10, but my horn you have exalted like the wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. My eyes have seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall still be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Jesus came. He's our high priest. He came so that we can be adopted in by his blood. Hebrews 9 verse 11 says this, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is not of his creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, and those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. If you're called today, step forward. If you're called today, when we begin to worship, if you want to step forward, you might see the sign dismissing to go pick up kids. Our kids team will take care of your kids a little extra longer today, okay? But if you've never given your life to Jesus, we're going to have ministry teams up here in the corners, in the back corners. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, do it. If you want to step into obedience and get baptized today, do it. Don't wait. If he's given you a fresh revelation of who he is and what he's doing, don't wait another second. Step forward to the altars today and give your life to him. Romans 10 verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you. The word's near right now in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess with your mouth today. Don't wait another second. Just say to him in this moment, Jesus, you're Lord. I give you everything. I want to walk with you all the days of my life. I want to be planted in your house because he's worthy. He's the high priest.